Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to the Wolverine.com podcast. I'm John Borton here with Tom Crawford, our man on Mondays, Tuesdays, early in the week, our man from East Lansing that comes in and brings not only the knowledge. A lot of people have knowledge and follow things closely, but he combines it with considerable passion and history behind him. Tom, welcome back to the podcast.
Well, it's great to be back, John. You know, I'm out walking, doing my morning walk, and feeling a little football air. You know what I mean? A clean, crisp, you know, 50 degrees, sunny. But I'm not wishing the summer away by any means. We wait too long. I'm just excited, looking all summer long, talking all summer long forward about Michigan football and Michigan basketball and all things Michigan. I went to the softball game, saw Carroll Hutchins' team out here at Michigan State a couple of games. They lost. They missed a great opportunity down the stretch on Sunday. Left too many men on too many women on base.
But yeah, still going there.
The NCAA tournament bound though for Hutch and her team. What a great athletic program it is this year. It's amazing.
Yeah. Many sided run from Michigan varsity programs. We've talked about that quite a bit. And we are, you mentioned football. We're going to talk some football today. We're going to start out talking some basketball because we talked last time about the Caleb Houston getting an invitation from the NBA Combine. And as it turns out, he looked that invitation square in the eye and said, thanks, but no thanks. He turned it down. And now a lot of people are looking at that and saying, you know what that means, don't you? That means somebody's promised to draft him. So he's skipping the combine. And others are saying, you know what that means? He's probably got a first round promise. Your thoughts on that sort of speculation, Mr. Crawford?
Yeah, admittedly, quite candidly, right when he announced he's pulling out of the draft, I thought, okay, this is cool. He's coming back. But then, you know, the span of about 12 hours, 18 hours, 24 hours goes by, and I'm not hearing anything about that he's coming back. He's tasting the Caleb Kool-Aid here, that he's going to the NBA. Someone's giving him a whole pitcher full that he's going to go in the first or second round, whatever. So I think he's gone. I mean, as we're sitting today, and I think that's very unfortunate for him. I what happened out here at Michigan State, Max Christie's going to the NBA, and he's been told the same thing. He's going to be a first round. Okay. You might end up in the G League. I just think with the NIL out there, you can make money. I don't understand why both of those young men would not come back next year at Michigan State and Michigan, respectively. I think it's a huge mistake. I am so freaking tired, John, of the word, oh, the guy's got a lot of potential. Because so much in athletics lately, especially as of late, it seems to me in all sports, I'm seeing potential not fully utilized and embraced. And it's just the kids aren't putting the work in. They want to be. And once again, I'm going to get accused of being sounding like an old man here, but
get off.
Put the work in. Go and earn it with the Michigan Wolverines. Show the NBA that you're ready and embrace that college experience. You're going to be on a great team. You got a great coaching staff. Good Lord, Caleb, a lot of time to play pro. Only a couple, you know, there's only one opportunity to play college basketball. I guess he's not into it that much.
There's a whole lot of potential that's playing in Europe these days. Just saying, and not that there's anything wrong with that.
And the CBA, okay, Jerry Seinfeld, not that there's anything wrong with that.
You see guys that have come through Michigan and have had, you know, really good and productive careers and interesting lives that they've spent other than in the NBA. But I, you know, when somebody that young does it, when somebody, and we don't know, this is, again, speculation based on the fact that he turned down the NBA combine. If he does make that decision, I mean, if he makes it based on the fact that somebody's promised to draft him in the first round, it's hard to argue with it. If that's not the case and he's just decided, you know, I want to go, when anybody leaves that early, to me, it's like, hey, go get him. See ya.
Well, the reason he doesn't want to go to the combine is because he doesn't want to be exposed. You know, that's the reason he's not going to the combine, because he knows he will be exposed, and he's in the clubhouse right now. You know, he figured someone told him, yeah, you're good right now as it is. And maybe there was some workouts and private workouts. I don't know. But I just, you know, it's one of those I don't get it. But, hey, listen, this podcast is based on the opinions of John Borton and Tom Crawford. And so, you know, you take it for what it's worth, what I'm spewing right here. But I'm frustrated because I can't imagine what it's like to be a college basketball coach. And I know we're going to talk about the recruiting prowess and everything. I know that's a topic track about Juwan Howard. But my God, you have to be a crystal ball viewer, accurate viewer of what's this gonna, is this kid gonna stay? Is he gonna go? I mean, you're recruiting your kids literally every day. You're counseling your kids every day. You're advising your kids every day. You're trying to build trust in your kids every day that they're gonna listen to what you're saying. You've been in the NBA, you play as a player 19 years. You know what the NBA is like. I can't imagine Juwan Howard says, yeah, Caleb, go. You're ready. I can't imagine he's hearing that from Juwan Howard. He's hearing it from somebody else who's got a vested interest in some other regard for Caleb Houston.
Yeah, coaches have to be extremely nimble these days and be ready for anything. You know, you talk about the fact that you think that Caleb Houston, this is a sign that he may well be gone. So then we look at, all right, does this tip the scales on 0-for-2 of the guys that have declared for the NBA? And I think you're past the 50% mark, in my opinion. We're talking about our opinions here, that Michigan loses both Caleb Houston and Musa Diabate. We kind of looked at Diabate as the one who was more likely to go going into it. And I felt that way right along. This one coming a little bit out of the blue with the indications that, there may be some sort of a behind the scenes promise to Caleb Houston. It has me thinking that we may be saying see ya to both of those guys after only their freshman seasons.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you and I have talked about Musa on podcasts, off podcasts. I think we both, you know, it was a gut feeling. I have a feeling he's professional basketball bound, whether that's here in the United States or overseas or in the CBA making $150K a year or whatever. Maybe that works for him. And, it mystifies me some decision making. I'm still trying to get over the Frankie Collins decision on that one. I mean, it's been a rough couple months. This is what's driving coaches crazy, as their off season is becoming more stressful than the season itself. You know, there's no days off, and to be Juwan Howard, to be any of these coaches, I've shared conversations with Tom Izzo, what he's going through. He just lost Max Christie yesterday. I mean, Michigan State is going to be undermanned next year. Not that that breaks my heart, but in reality, Max Christie would benefit coming back next year, and Michigan State would benefit from him coming back. So it's just the way it is, and it frustrates me because I love college basketball, and I hate guys leaving too early.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna see both sides of it probably for Michigan this year, in that here's the NIL keeping Hunter Dickinson here for his junior year, when everybody said going into his sophomore year, hey, enjoy it because he's long gone after this year. He's around as a junior, and two freshmen that you could have potentially projected to be around at least two, if not 3 years, now could be gone. So we're gonna take a long look at what happens there. I want to roll this into what Juwan Howard is doing with recruiting right now, and we checked in on our site with On3.com analyst Jamie Shaw that had the following to say. I want to have you react to this, Tom, with regard to what this recruiting analyst had to say about Juwan Howard and his recruiting. I'm quoting here, he's recruiting at a high level. He continually gets good kids. Last year, he recruited a class that was kind of one and done heavy, or so they thought coming in. And I like this class a lot now, the current class, because he's bringing multi-year guys. There are multiple guys in this class that have a potential to be three-year starters and win a lot of games. You have to have those types on your team. And we're talking about, close quote, we're talking about guys, the headliners obviously are Terrace Reed and Jet Howard, but you've also got Doug McDaniel and Greg Glenn. About them, Shaw said the following. There are guys that are just under the NBA radar, but high-level college players, they'll stay for two or three years so they can get that continuity. I think Terrace Reed has got a chance to be a star. Jet Howard is somebody who has a chance to be really, really good as a college player that wins a tons of games. The other kids have unique stuff to them, but both are have question marks where they could just soar and be great players. Overall, it's a really good class. Your thoughts when you hear that sort of analysis? I mean, who knows what they can turn into? We didn't think that the freshmen that are positioned to perhaps go now would be gone after 1 year, at least after seeing them early on in this past season.
Well, I think, I'm going to take Jet Howard out of this equation because, I mean, this is a special circumstance. I mean, his dad's the coach. I think Jet Howard, I mean, it's not like money is the issue in that family, okay? So, I mean, I see Jet Howard saying maybe 3 years, and continuing to refine his, maybe try to win a national championship with his brother and his dad. I mean, because, once again, it's not by need. In terms of the others, I mean, with Reed and things, and McDaniel, maybe it depends on how it goes. This freshman year, if they have a sensational year, all of a sudden things change. I mean, I remember Jordan Poole came in as a freshman and he seemed to be always tagging along. That first year, it's like, wow, this guy's got some potential here. And then at the end of his freshman year, he has this game winner against Houston to put his team into the Sweet 16. And he came back that sophomore year. And I think that was so key for him. Yeah, I would have liked him to stay selfishly a third year, but I think he got it matched up with a good franchise of development. And, he paid his dues those first couple of years and look what he's doing right now. So, I mean, Jordan Poole, I think there's a sweet spot, John, of 2 years. This one and done, I just don't think it – I think it's lose-lose in a lot of regards. Yeah, maybe the guy – it's win for the guy who gets a big contract. But I'm just not – nine times out of ten, it doesn't look like it just has a bad feel when a one and doneer. I love the two and doneer. And I think maybe a couple of these guys are two and doneer. Two and doneer is good for me. I'll take that. I mean, I was playing college basketball and kids only played varsity 3 years, sophomore, junior, and senior year, and they really didn't play much until their junior year. So two and done is fine, but the one and done sucks.
Now, you talk about how much things change. I distinctly remember John Beilein coming here and kind of coveting the Wisconsin model where they had a bunch of seniors, even if they weren't, the top players in the country when they're starting out and grab all the headlines. That Wisconsin, these guys that have been around forever and are going to get you. You say one and done leaves a little bad taste in your mouth. Give me here's a hypothetical for you. If you have a chance for a one and doneer that is a five star and or a two and done guy. I mean, and this is all hindsight after it happens, but a two and done guy that is maybe a four star cut below, but good potential. Who would you take?
Two words: Trey Burke. I mean, he was more the latter you're describing, and he wasn't even a four star. I think wasn't he a three star or two star? Yeah, and yet he had a great year that freshman year. Remember when we were a little bit nervous about, you know, his freshman year? I think they lost to Ohio U in the opening round, and Trey's you know contemplating leaving. I go, oh God, look what by him coming back the following year would happen. They got to the title game, a game they should have, that, you know, some questionable calls kept them from a large part from winning a national championship. That 2013 season was a wonderful year, you know, and I can't express enough how that important that second year helped Jordan Poole, helped Nick Stauskas, right? Trey Burke. I mean, there's a lot of these kids have gone 2 years that, and then I'm fine with that. You know, I feel like, you know, they've shown enough commitment to the school, and the school's shown commitment to them, giving them a platform and opportunity. They're going to end up making a lot of money. The Jordan Poole thing, I mean, the fact that I am a Golden State Warriors NBA fan right now tells you how I'm wrapped up in Jordan Poole, because to me, the Warriors is Draymond Green, a guy I can't stand, who's not only he not only hates Michigan, he disrespects Michigan, doesn't have any respect. The fact that I'm wanting his team to win tells you how much I'm all excited about this Jordan Poole emergence in the NBA. Very happy for him, and I have a great feeling about Jordan Poole's career at Michigan as well as what he's doing in the NBA.
All right, and as you said, Trey Burke becomes the National Player of the Year because he listens to the Tom Crawford wisdom, stay for year two. I like the 2 year plan, especially these days, because, you know, it's. You know, I actually like the Hunter Dickinson 3 year plan. Be that good, but so let's shift gears here. We've talked a lot of basketball. We're going to see how this plays out, and we are certainly going to see how everything plays out for Jim Harbaugh and the University of Michigan football program. You know, we're putting together our football preview, something that I know you anticipate and enjoy every year, and I much appreciated. Tom Crawford is our unofficial the Wolverine football preview spokesperson.
I'm the Dave Abloff of the Michigan preview issue. I'll conduct all the interviews with all the superstar editors and all that stuff. I'll do all that. Bring them in there, and you guys interviewed by the media. It's great.
All right. Well, speaking of interviews, I have been talking to a wide cast of characters, from John Jansen to Rob Reines to Chris Hutchison, to one of our favorites and regulars, Doug Skeen, Doug Karsh, the new play-by-play man of Michigan football on the radio. And, you know, there's a lot that goes into this. One of the things that I'm asking people involves, what are the top three items for Michigan football this fall in terms of repeating what they did last year? That doesn't mean you run the table. That means you beat Ohio State, you make it to Indianapolis, you have a chance to make the playoffs. The top three things, given we understand it's a different group of guys, in some areas dramatically so on defense, what top three things, either, you know, it doesn't have to be nuts and bolts football. It can be also intangibles, and a lot of guys mentioned some intangibles, but what would be the top three items on Tom Crawford's list that, okay, you get these three things right, you're going to have the kind of year that you did last year?
Well, it's going to be kind of a mixed blend of things and or events and then maybe people. I'll start with number one. Now, number one to me is October 1. What happens on October 1? Michigan goes to Iowa City. I will lay a dozen donuts. That's going to be a night game, right? Warmer weather, going to be a night game. Michigan will be undefeated. Iowa, you know, Iowa, Michigan repeat of you know, a rematch of the Big Ten championship game in Indy last December. Michigan in that game has got to win that game if they're going to have any aspirations of winning the Big Ten championship or going to the CFP. And this is why I was so frustrated, John, the fact that that non-conference schedule that we broke down and I lamented about and until you were blue and amazing blue in the face about, you know, they're not playing anybody, they're not going to learn anything. They have got to execute in that game without really knowing what they're capable of doing because they're not going to be exposed in those first few non-conference games playing all those group of five non-conference teams at home, and you got Maryland coming to the Big House, okay? So they got, and what do you got to do in Iowa City? I'm not worried about Michigan's defense, even though they got some issues at linebacker, and we don't know, you know, if some of the young guys are going to be able to step up under fire. I'm worried about, can this offense take over that stadium with swag? Like LSU, when they went down to Austin, they took over that stadium a few years ago, and in a top five, and just quieted that crowd and blew them out. Okay, with Joe Burrow, quarterback. That's what Michigan's got to do, number one, or else if they swing and miss in that game, we're in for an average season, Outback Bowl, maybe go to Orlando for the Citrus Bowl. I mean, that's where it's headed, because you'll have to make up. For you know, you didn't have any non-conference big jewel wins, and you got to wiggle your way back in. It's going to be very hard. And plus, they're not going to have any confidence. Iowa City, that's my number one. The other two elements, obviously, defense is like I mentioned. Who is Junior Colson? Who is he going to be a standout linebacker, a guy that you've pinpointed? And then back to offensively. The quarterback situation, can J.J. McCarthy be the starting quarterback? He's got to be the starting quarterback. In my mind, this team's going to go to where it needs to go to be at the high caliber it hopes to be.
Very nice. Very nice. Very insightful. Very out on the limb a bit in some ways. I will say this. We absolutely disagree on point number three, because I don't think it has to be J.J. McCarthy. I just the more I hear about Cade McNamara's leadership and the way he's gone about his business, the more confident I feel that he will be the quarterback again with a significant mixture of J.J. McCarthy like you had last year. You know, hopefully they both stay healthy and we can see them both. But here's something that might tie into this, and I don't want to give away the store in terms of what we're producing in the football preview. But one of the things that some of these old-time guys were mentioning when this question came up, you know, and a couple of them said, you know, the number one thing, and they didn't talk about the offense, they didn't talk about the defense. They said, it's the leadership that you get between now and that opening kickoff. It's recapturing what you had last year in guys like Aiden Hutchinson and David Ojabo and Cade McNamara in how they led and how they directed this whole thing. How diligent are the summer workouts? How diligent is this offensive line in getting together and becoming what last year's was or even more? So I'm intrigued to see not just, okay, how do they bring things together on the defense? Or how can they, as you mentioned, go out with an offense and take over with some swagger and decisiveness? But also, do they have that same feel? Are they are they join? They won't get the chance to join or in on the jump around in Madison this year. But are they going to have that kind of a team? That kind of a stick your chin out. We're not scared of you. We're joining in the fun, and we're going to make the fun.
Well, that's why I lean on J.J. McCarthy. I talk about ultimate leadership, and I'll give you that example. Remember the Wisconsin game? Speaking of the Wisconsin game, they go to Madison, they fly back. What does J.J. go out with two of his comrades out there? You know, he takes two of his fellow freshmen, they go out and they throw in the football building on a Saturday night instead of going to the dorms and party and celebrating that big win over Wisconsin. That is leadership in my mind. That's leadership. It's like after they lost the Orange Bowl, he goes out there and he watches that ceremony along with Donovan Edwards. Okay, because he knows that's where he wants to be. That's where leadership, I think, starts with J.J. McCarthy, and that starts with your quarterback. And that's why I just think I just think this is going to be a damn shame if this guy sits on the bench 20% of the time of his entire career. If that happens, that's going to be one of the, you talk about, you know, failed opportunities in the Michigan football program of having a great quarterback, because Ohio State's going to have a great quarterback. And all these teams that win, that get into the CFP, they have great quarterback play. And I don't think Kay McNamara is going to bring it to the level of J.J. McCarthy.
Well, that's a wonderful parting of the ways for us on this podcast, because I think Cade McNamara has so many intangibles, and I think I do not think that J.J. McCarthy is going to languish on the bench and only play 20% of the time. And
how do you do that, though? What do you do, though, John? Throw that out before we close out. What do you do in that in terms of number of snaps? You split it?
What do you do? I don't split it 50-50. I think you have a starting quarterback, and then I think you have a wonderfully talented backup quarterback in J.J. McCarthy, who comes on and increases his role from last year and does more, and does a heck of a lot more than the greatest quarterback in the history of the universe did in his first year or two at Michigan. So, you know, things didn't turn out too badly for that guy. I'm just saying.
Oh, we're going to have a vibrant the 22 season. John Board, Tom Crawford, from the Wolverine Podcast. We're going to be going at this all the time. You be Kay McNamara's sports information director. I'll be J.J. McCarthy. We'll represent our guy all season long.
I'll be Lloyd Carr. I like them both.
I like them both. Mr. Diplomatic Lloyd Carr.
All right. Well, yeah. that's gonna wrap us for this week. Tom Crawford, it is so much fun to join in this with you. We will do it throughout the summer. We will do it into the fall and into these seasons that we're talking about. Appreciate you, my brother, and we will talk again very soon.
Always a pleasure, JB. Until next time.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.